Page Kuf Nun Beis. We're in the middle of the Halacha Kuf Samach Dalid. Okay, we're in the middle. We're up to where it says V'od Boshes Yesh Loi V'chein Tzar Shel Gineva. The Gemara talks. We're talking over here that a person has Agmas Nefesh. A person in this lifetime has Agmas Nefesh. This is a kapara. A kapara, an atonement for his averos. Provided that the Agmas Nefesh that he undergoes is not because of an avera, but if a person has pain and the pain that he experiences is forbidden pain, he was trying very hard to do an avera and it did not work out for him and he has agmas nefesh, that agmas nefesh is not in a kapara for his averas. And he's in the middle of giving examples. The next example he gives over here is v'chein tzar shel gineva. A person is a ganef. Sheyevosh mibnei adam. And he is embarrassed. Either he's caught or when he steals, he's seen. Ve'enoy mitzaer b'shvil ha'averos shenimna b'shvil boishes b'nei adam. And his embarrassment is not because of the averos that he held back from doing from other people. Ve'enoy yochol lasa isma shlu b'chafetz. Ki oz anshay gadol b'yais. Let's say a person, there are times when a person is embarrassed because, for good reasons, the people are telling him, everyone is being mechal Shabbos. And he says, I am not going to be mechal Shabbos. And they're all laughing at him. Why not? Everyone does it. Why don't you want to talk during davening? Everyone talks during davening. How come you go, shh? Why don't you want to talk to me? And they embarrass him. So that embarrassment, he will earn enormous reward for that embarrassment, and that embarrassment will be a kapara for him because he's being embarrassed for a good reason. But if chas v'shalom, he's being embarrassed because he's a ganef, he was caught, he went and he got caught, and now he's embarrassed, what do you think? You think that being embarrassed because you're caught is going to be a kapara? Of course not. So one more time the words. V'chein tzar shel gineva sheyevosh mibnei adam. He's embarrassed because of people. That is a continuation of the previous paragraph. That embarrassment is not going to serve him a kapara. The only type of embarrassment that will serve as a kapara will be what he says now. He's not having pain because of holding back from doing averos. He's not being embarrassed because he's controlling his heart and not doing everything that he desires. But if his embarrassment is because he was caught doing an avera, who cares? Doesn't make a difference. The punishment is the same. He'll be punished very, very much. Aval im kibul lav tzaroi. Okay, if it was makabel tzar b'shvil Hakadosh Baruch Hu goyin shemoneh ma mishashua bano b'noisav. Sheyishma sheboichin v'ishtoi migalosan v'hu mitzar sheboichin. If a person has tsar because of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, for example, he holds back from playing with his children. Sheyishma sheboichin, he hears their crying. V'ishtoi migadalton, and he raises them. His wife raises them. V'ihu mitzar sheboichin, and he has pain that they're crying. And he doesn't help his wife. Okay, he's sitting, describing some very bizarre situation. He's sitting and learning in the kitchen, in the dining room, and he hears the baby is crying. And he has tsar that his child is crying. And he doesn't pick up himself to go pick up the baby to help, and his wife instead goes, his wife goes, and she takes care of the baby. Super bizarre what he says, very mystical concepts. The children are crying. He really wants to go. He has a yearning to go, a natural yearning of a father to go and play with his child to stop the baby from crying. The baby is crying. He wants to go into the crib, take the baby out, and pacify the baby. He really wants to do it. But he realizes that if he keeps on doing this, he's never going to learn one word his whole life, or at least not during this period of time. And he has an obligation, to some degree, to learn something. And his wife is more than willing in this situation, more than willing to go and take care of the baby, and she does. He also wants to. It's not a matter of his wife wants to go to sleep, and his wife says, you do it. His wife is already there. She's already doing it. She wants to do it. So the first baby, okay, the first baby, wife is excited to go and to take care of the baby. He also wants to play with the baby, but he realizes, I have to prepare a shiur for tomorrow. I have to learn the daf. And he holds himself back from playing with his child, and he has pain. So why does he have pain? Because he realizes he has to serve Hashem. He has an obligation to learn Torah, to do a mitzvah, to do this and that. So that pain that he experiences by giving up of a pleasure that he would ordinarily pursue is very precious in the eyes of Hashem, and for that he will receive reward.
It doesn't say that.
That's what it says.
It says,
he has pain that his baby is crying. But he just explained, and he looked at the first words. Shemoneya misha'ashua banav uvnaisav. He holds himself back from playing with the child, pacifying the child. Don't extrapolate to different cases. You're going in a bad place. Let's not discuss. No. It's not what he's discussing. It's not the case. He's discussing parents have a newborn baby. They're so excited. It's a novelty to have a newborn baby, and the baby cries. Everyone goes running to poo-poo the baby. It's the most exciting, most cute. So they're running. He's chalishing to go and play with his baby. He already spent today 2 hours playing with the baby. Okay, but now he realized he has to buckle down and get back to business. So he goes and he goes and sits and is learning. And now the baby is crying again. And the wife and the grandmother and his shviga, they're on top of the baby. Okay, they're all there. The wife, the mother, his shviga, and his own mother, all being metopled with the baby. But he also wants to play with the baby. And he already spent 2 hours playing with the baby. But you have to also learn a pasuk in Chumash. You want to be an Am Haaretz your whole life? You got to learn a pasuk in Chumash. So he says, you know what? I'm going to hold myself back. I'm not going to play with the baby because I know that Hashem wants from me, I should at least learn the parash of Hashavua, learn a pasuk of Chumash with Rashi. I shouldn't be an ignoramus my whole life. I should know what parash it's the Shabbos. So he sits down and he begins to learn the parash of Hashavua, and the baby cries, and there are already three people that are running to play with the baby, and he decides not to go to Shem Shemayim, but by not going to play with the baby, he has pain, because that's really what he wants. This is very precious in the eyes of Hashem. Next.
The Shalom Bayit.
That we're not discussing. We just mentioned that we're not discussing that case. If you're telling me a case where with Shalom Bayit, we're not going there. That's not the case over here. Next. V'einu oimei b'shvil shoisik b'torah. He does not stand b'shvil because he's busy. He's involved in learning Torah. Next paragraph. The next paragraph is v'chein tsar isha ro'ah v'einoi choite. Let's say a person, his wife is giving him, you know what? Okay.
No, you tell us.
You know what? Wow, you don't know?
Well, back to you. Tsar
isha ro'ah. Ishara, he comes home and his wife is cursing him out. Okay? She's cursing him out. Ishara means at this moment, in his eyes, she is an Ishara at this moment. And he says, and the average person would go, average person would either answer back, would beat her up, or would go have an affair with another woman. Read the words. What do you think it means? What do you think it means? Means a whole long list of things. A man is in a bad marriage, at least temporarily. Go look at what the average person would do in this situation. What would he do? He would beat her up. He would go and take revenge against her. He would go and have an affair. Use your imagination. Okay? Ve'einoi choite. He's a tzaddik. And
but
until...
And that he didn't do anything wrong.
V'loi chota. Then it would say in the past tense. V'loi chota. It would say v'loi chota. He has not sinned. Einoi choite means in the present tense. He's not...
Back.
Fine. You have a very you have a very healthy mind.
Keep quiet,
okay? Someone who has a dirty mind thinks very differently.
I want to say, keep quiet.
Yes, okay, that's what it says. Yes, that's what it says. Okay. The einoy v'chein tsar isha ra, temporarily until the things straighten out, he's in the matzav with an isha ra, the einochayte. Do you know how precious that is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person is able to control himself? The reward, the tsar, let's go further. The tsar, the pain is very great, and he's able to control himself, and does not do the einochayte. This is a very great merit for a person. Furthermore, v'digduke anios, the einoy oisa avlo, person is dirt poor. The dikduke anis is the worst nisoyin in life. When a person does not have what to eat, does not have parnasa, and that can lead a person to do terrible, terrible things. It can lead him to do to become a ganef. He can give up on life, and he can do terrible averos. He's dikduke anis, which means dikduk means the small points, meaning he's down. It's an expression. I don't even really know the exact how it comes, how we go from the word diktuk into extreme poverty. He's in the matzav of extreme poverty, and yet it does not affect him. The einoy oisa avla, he lives a life, a regular life. That's another example. Third example, vitzar yisurim begufay. He has physical pain. He's gone to the best doctors. He's gone, tried every alternative medicine in the world. He's done everything he can possibly do to heal his illness, and nothing works. He suffers physically. And yet he has no complaints, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he accepts it. V'tzar yisurim begufay. Oy, b'misas oy hava rachmana litzlan. He's in mourning. Someone dies, someone close to him dies. The world has come to an end. That it is an assignment that's beyond belief, psychological pain. Or he has relatives who are in tsar, and he cannot live a day watching his friends have tsar. The altsar acherim, another example, the tsar of, even if it's not your beloved one, it's only that you know someone, you cause a lot of tsar. Right now, they're having as we speak, they're having the levaya for that Rebbe. That Rebbe that was nifter in Virginia. In Virginia, what a horror story. Okay, and it's a mamish, a miracle of miracles. They found his body in North Carolina. Many, many miles away from where he drowned. Many, many miles. This is a classic open shut case in the Gemara of an Aguna. Mayim she'ein lohem soif. And he said no. I heard conflicting. I saw one place that they already started setting shiva before. And then I heard from yesterday someone from another Feinstein, Paskin, no. He Paskin is an open shut case in the Gemara. Rachmana litzlan, a person, what appears to be drowns. The wife is an aguna. The wife is a mayim she'ein lohem soif. Even though the chances of him being alive are almost zero, and he had a good, healthy marriage, and he would certainly want to come back to his family, the halacha is the halacha. There's no room to wiggle here. It's a classic case. So this woman, a young woman, five children, she would have been Naguna. Rahman Lustan. This is a miracle of miracles that Baruch Hashem, his body should have Nechama. I don't know what to say, but Baruch Hashem, his body was found. His body was found, I think 12 miles away, I read. I'm not sure what I read. I think 12 miles away. You know how much 12 miles is? 12 miles is enormous distance. Miracle that it was found, right there that it was found. I heard first it was found by the Coast Guard, and now I read that it was found by Ms. Askin. You have to really know who everyone wants credit. Everyone can claim for it. Whoever found it, they've done a very big chesed. Hashem has done a very big chesed and brought this about. They have done bichased because no closure for the family.
Also, Jewish community got together.
Yeah, and tremendous achdus. It's a very, very horrible story. Horrible. I saw some of the pictures. They have pictures of him teaching children. Some very beautiful pictures. They posted online of him teaching, of him in his capacity teaching children, and they're heart wrenching. You see a young, healthy, vibrant person teaching in class, teaching children. And such a horror story like this, it's very, very frightening. But right now, as we speak, you can imagine it must be a very, very big levaya in Virginia, and then they're flying into Clifton. I don't know why when Clifton.
That's
the Beis HaKvaros. Where does he come? Where does he live? Where does he come from?
Virginia. Where he's from?
I don't know this whole history. To me, all I know is I've seen him before. I recognize him. I can swear that I know him. I recognize that face. I know him from somewhere. I can't. What? What do you learn?
No, I don't know.
What does
it
say?
When did it happen?
I don't know. It happened about a week ago. A week ago, a fellow was with a camp, and they were in a place they should not have been, and they were swimming, and there was a boy that was in danger. It appeared that he was drowning, and this Rebbe counselor went out to save him, and in the process, he was taken away by a riptide. He was taken out to the ocean, and he disappeared, and Baruch Hashem, at least the boy, I don't know all the details, the boy survived. But he, in the process of trying to save him, drowned. And they could not find his body. And they were searching for days, and basically the Coast Guard, there's a point where you have to give up. And they canceled the search after using every resource that was available, every technology that they have at their disposal, radar, and you name it, and airplanes and helicopters. They must have spent millions of dollars conducting this very
thorough,
you name it. They knew what they were doing. They have the very super sophisticated technology, techniques. They harnessed every tool they have to try to find him. And the Jewish community came out in support like you never saw before, being the spalel. And those that are able to volunteer, not much you can do. You're not able to know people, what could a person already do? What could a layman do? But they obviously did search the beaches, somebody could wash up along the shore, to go along the shore to find them. The beaches, maybe they'll get lucky, the body will wash up. And Baruch Hashem, yesterday, the body washed up 12 miles away, near North Carolina, and it was a very, very, very big miracle. It's really a very, very big chesed to give the family closure, and it's not any longer a Shaila of Aguna. And right now, as we speak, there's a massive levaya. It's probably being broadcast online, I would imagine. Okay, I'm sure it's being streamed online, and probably going to have another levaya later in New Jersey. I'm not sure why New Jersey, Clifton, but there probably be another levaya, and you probably can watch the replay later on. Okay, let's go further.
How old was he?
He was 35. 35, he has five little children. Okay.
I wrote in the shul with my wife's nephew, Rabbi Sender Haber. Yaakov Haber. I don't know if you have Yaakov Haber from Eritrea.
No.
That's his father. Yeah.
Okay, his name was Bauman. His last name was Bauman. And what was his first name? I don't know his first name. Reuven Bauman. He wrote a book, actually. He wrote a children's book. He wrote a children's book. And I visit every single day a website where they showcase every new sefer that was published that day. Okay, it's a fantastic, fantastic Twitter feed. They at least every day they have usually about five a day, five brand new hot off the press svarim, all different types of svarim. And yesterday they showcased his sefer. It wasn't new; it was published a number of years ago. It's a children's book. He put out a children's book, and I guess, to be mishtatef in the tsar of Israel, they only showcase new svarim. But yesterday they showcased on the top sefer this children's book that he published years ago. I guess people should remember him. It should be mispalo for his neshama. Okay, I don't know what to say. Besuras Tovas, it should be as Klal Yisrael, brought out in Klal Yisrael, a very beautiful thing. They write up the people from the Coast Guard and government officials, they speak publicly that they never saw such a community come together and join and be mishtatef in the tsar of one of their own, and to their willingness to assist and do anything they can possibly do to help the government and the professionals in doing their job. It was a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem, like none other, and that certainly is a tremendous zuchus for it. And obviously there's also a lot of lessons to learn from this, practical lessons, going forward, education, And, you know, that also will be a schus for him. I'm certainly, this is going to be a very, very big sticking point with, you know, a very big learning opportunity for every camp. Every camp and every type of situation where children are taken to the beach. And in the long run, it will save a lot of lives. Hopefully. Hopefully this will be an opportunity where the community will use this to learn the lessons of the dangers of what of how people don't have any clue of how dangerous it is. When you think you go to the water, you know, you know how to swim, and what could happen already? We have no clue to understand the nature, teva, the koyach of the ocean and what can happen. It will save lives. It should be as a zuchus going forward that people will be living because of what happened to him. All right, let's go further. The Yesh Averis. Okay, so he writes on this very... Right, I'm sorry, right, we'll go back. Hakol mechashim lo k'neged tzar, you're right. I left it one line. I'm back in that paragraph. V'chein tzar yishara. Go down two lines. The second to last line in that paragraph. Hakol mechashvim lo k'neged tzar gehenem. K'neged avaynoysav shenemar. Every pain that a person has in this world, the person should relish. Right? How can you say it? It's true, though. You don't want it. Stay loyhein. Chazal make it clear as day. Chazal make it clear as day. Loyhein v'loy scharan. We don't want pain. And we tell Hashem, you know what? Don't give us pain. And we don't want the reward. The reward. We don't know what goes on in the next world. And that's for our benefit. And therefore, we have a right to say, Hashem, don't bring upon us pain. And even though you'll tell me that it says in the big books that if you have pain in this world, your reward in the next will be infinitely greater, it is the duty of a person not to be so religious. It's an incredible insight.
We said that the positives don't cancel out the negatives. So if you have pain, it's supposed to cancel out the error. Is that what that?
In Yisurin, yes, it does cancel out. It cancels out. There is such a thing as canceling. Punishment. Let's clarify. You're making a very good point. There are averos and there are mitzvahs. An avera, doing an avera, does not cancel a mitzvah. You say something that is very important to understand. A person comes to shul, he puts on tefillin. Pretty good, right? Pretty good, he put on tefillin. He comes to the next world, they're going to check him off. Oh, look at that, you put on tefillin. This day, you put on tefillin. Okay, check. You're going to get an extra portion olam haba. Okay, an extra dessert, extra side-ish. What would you like? Extra side-ish. Oh, on that day that you put on tefillin, you also, during davening, you spoke Lashon Hara, and you talked during davening, and you insulted someone. All right, you know what? Instead of sending you downstairs to Gehenim for 20 minutes to cleanse you for those three averos, we'll just take away your side dish. We'll knock off the cholent. We'll knock off the side dish. So you're not going downstairs for 20 minutes, but you're not getting the side dish. That is nonsense. What happens in the next world is you get your side dish and you'll eat it downstairs. That's what it really. You get both. You get your Gehenim, you get the Gehenim, and you get. Okay, this is something different. Let's say in this world, on your way to work, unusual, the train gets stuck. The train, there's some type of police activity in front of us, and the train, we have to wait. And then guess what? All of a sudden, the air conditioning goes off on the train. And now you're schwitzing for 20 minutes on the train. Guess what? That schwitz on the train for 20 minutes is mechaper for your going downstairs in the next wheel for 20 minutes. The yesurin that the person had, maybe even for 5 minutes, 5 minutes of yesurim in this world will spare you 2 hours worth of yesurim in the next world. It does cancel. You see the difference? An avera, a mitzvah does not cancel an avera. But suffering in this world cancels suffering in the next world. Or even, this is even more mystical concept, which we really, really have no clue, is suffering in this world gives you enjoyment in the next world. Now, what does that mean? Ooh, stay away from that. But that's what it says. Okay, some people, they don't deserve to suffer anything in this world at all, but yet they suffer just for the purpose of giving them bonuses in the next world. Wow, I have no understanding of what that means. But yet over here, now this is very, very important, you say. Chazal tell us, they always tell us, be religious, be a good person, be a Bala Amali Amuna, believe in the next world. That's what it's all about. This world is just a proizdar, it's just a hallway to the next world. But yet, Chazal tell us, there are times we want you to be an apikoris. We want you to be an apikoris. We really want you to be an apikoris. We want you to be irreligious. And that is, don't look to suffer in this world. Even though, beyond the shadow of a doubt, according to what we know, the suffering you receive in this world will cleanse you from the next world. What next world? What are you talking about? Don't be religious now. Don't invite upon yourself suffering. When you'll get to the next world, you'll deal with it. You'll figure out what to do. You'll figure out a solution. In this world, Chazal tell us, loy hein v'loy sicharan. We don't want it. We don't want the suffering. And that's right, we're moichel. All of the reward, the mystical concepts, the reward and the cleansing that comes along with the suffering that goes in the next world. Isn't that an amazing thing? That Chazal are telling us to be irreligious Jews. Really, that's really what it says. Make no mistake about it. What?
In other words, I saw a person.
Yes, of course. An istinus. Yes. The answer is yes. What one person considers suffering is an enjoyment. You drink schnapps. For some people, a little, you come over to shul. They give you, you know how much this costs? This bottle costs $400. Ah, take a little chayim. It'll do for the neshama, and I'll leave for the neshama on a $400 bottle of schnapps, and they give it to me, and it tastes like mouthwash.
It's worse.
It's torture for me to drink this. And for the other fellow, who's a connoisseur, it's Gan Eden in this world. So of course, everything in this world is subjective. Subjective to what you are accustomed to. Of course, every suffering. Some people.
No, nobody is for suffering.
Oh, no. So it's saying over. So if you are a religious Jew and you're a real Maimon, so theoretically, you should say, bring it on. No, isn't that what makes sense? If you're a religious Jew and you believe that this world is garnish, this world is a nothing of a nothing, and everything is the next world, and therefore it's kedai to cleanse your neshama in this world in preparation for the next world. So a person theoretically should say, that's right, I want to suffer in this world to cleanse my neshama for the next world. Chazal tell us, you know something? You know something? Chazal tell us, don't be so religious. In this respect, better be an apikoris. Really, it's really what it says. Be an apikoris. Loi hein, not it. It referring to the suffering. Veloi sechara. However, you should pray. Pray with your full heart and soul. Believe me, you should never suffer. Pray. Halavai Hashem should answer our prayers. Halavai. Oh, but the next world. It's not your problem. That's not. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. But what is the lesson? But let's say Rachmano Litzlan Hashem does not answer our prayers, and for whatever reason, a person does experience unpleasantness in this world, in any type of unpleasantness. You put your hand into the pocket. I want to take out a quarter, and guess what? I took out a dime. I wanted to take out a dollar bill. I took out a $5 bill. Any agmas nefesh, and certainly much more, rachmanos and other types of agmas nefesh, which are infinitely more significant, a person should not reject it and just say, oh, what a waste of time. Hashem has done, you should then switch gears, become an ultra-Orthodox Jew, and recognize this suffering has cleansed me from a much greater suffering that I would have had to experience in the next world. So life is complicated. One minute I am an apikoris, And the next minute, I'm a devout Jew. Okay, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And every 5 minutes you go, you vacillate between being Napikores and being a devout Jew. Isn't that what whole life is all about? Lohein v'loi schoron. Every time you daven, you're davening, Hashem, please spare me from Agmas Nefesh. But if it comes upon you, you have to appreciate this is going to cleanse my neshama. And that is what he says over here. He writes over here, everything I called, it's second list on the paragraph, I called, everything is mechashvin loy. Every form of tsar. And the examples he gave over here, the wife screams at you, you just keep your mouth shut. Okay? Dikduke anios. If the stock market, people, you know, the people today, yesterday, they were losing their minds. You know, it's a very interesting world we live in. I want to give you a very good example. It used to be in the Friedrich Gadar, the previous generation, people, they invest in the stock market. Stock market, they still do. Well, stock market, right, is the biggest thing. Stock, there are stocks. And then there are people that invest in currencies. New Meshagas came along years ago. Forex. Was it called Forex? It used to be Forex. Years ago, new Meshagas, people invested. They lose all their money in 5 minutes. Suicidal people. They go invest in currencies. Now we have a Nayadar. Nayadar, people, they invest, they trade cryptocurrencies. Now, what was the mile of the stock market and Forex? It's only open 9 to 5. 9 to 5? Or 9 to 4? What time is the stock market close?
4:30.
It closes. 9:30 to 4:30. Wow.
9:30 to 4.
To 4. Ooh, getting smaller, shorter and shorter. How do we talk? Show us how much I know. Shows how much investments I have, right? Okay? It's open 9:30 to 4. Pretty good. You can wake up late. You can go daven, okay? People start day traders. You can go wake up late, daven a late minion. 9:30. Go and you have to go down. 9:30, right? You had to go down. It used to be years ago. There's no online trading. You have to go down to whatever it is and trade. If you have a broker, whatever it is. Okay, you want to be nervous? You're only nervous at 9:30 to 4. Then came a new Meshagas, the computer. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. You can stay home in your pajamas. So you can get all psyched up because wherever you are, you can be involved from far. Then there's Forex. Now the new generation, they're totally nuts. They're totally crazy. They invented this new make-believe thing called cryptocurrency. Out of thin air, make-believe money. Mamish, like monopoly money. Monopoly money. And this, the Bitcoin, and this coin, the Chveis, all these coins. And then it became a craze to trade. Trade this, and became a big Meshagas. People, they trade cryptocurrency. But you know what the sickness is? The people who invented this monopoly money, cryptocurrency, the trading is not 9 to 5. The trading 24. Is 24-7. Literally, 24/7. So the sickness of trading, and people are mamish involved in this, they're involved 24/7. Yesterday, if you read the news, there was a major crash. Normally, when there's a crash in the stock markets on a Monday, here, there was a major crash. Major crash on a Sunday.
Because Google said they
want to
come with something.
I don't know. I'm saying is, it's really a sign of the times of how society, it really hit me yesterday, how society has gone so low where we have make-believe monopoly money that is dominating a segment of the population globally, and they're so obsessed with money, they've invented make-believe money that's not even based on any commodity, and it's not based on an economy. It used to be based upon commodities. Now, no more commodities. It's based upon economies, correct? The dollar is not based upon gold anymore.
Trust in the government.
It's based upon economies. The government, the trust in the economy, the health and the stability of an economic power. Okay, so it became from a commodity of a dover that's real to something which is semi-real. And now the new generation has invented something that's not even real. It's not based on an economy. It's certainly not based on a commodity. is based on your imagination. And not only is it based upon your imagination, this is in Zaman, it's Hefker. It's continuous. Occupies you when you go to sleep. You put in a bid when you go to sleep. You wake up in the morning. What's going to be in the morning? Boker, mi yitain erev. Erev, mi yitain boker. We're living in mamish crazy times. Crazy, crazy times. Even go back before the stock market. Who ever heard of a stock market? You have commodities. You have gold. You have silver. You don't go invest stocks in what is the value of gold, what is the value of silver. Either you got it or you don't. It wasn't a market, a stock market. Over time, over the generations, we become from real people to almost real people, to semi-real people, to make-believe people, and to not even people. We've gone down a whole new world. Where do we fit in? I don't know where we fit in. But here, he writes over here that if a person does experience agmas nefesh in any form or shape, it is like kapara k'neged tzar gehenim k'neged avonos of shnemar kinir tzavoyna. And that's what it says about Yerushalayim, is that the galos is a kapara nirtza, it has been appeased. The sin has been appeased. When a person, rachmana l'slan, suffers, it appeases the sin. Chsev ki mola tzva'a, it is filled with her host. Now, I'm not sure, I don't know what, tzva means the numbers of people. I don't know, I'm not sure exactly how he's darshing this in reference to Yisurim. Simply means is that the city is now filled up with human beings, people, and maybe it's a continuation of now that there's been appeased for its sins, so now that it's going to be a kibbutz golius, or maybe he means something here much deeper than I know, but I'm not sure. Well, anyway, we'll leave it with that. We'll stop here. We'll take a short break. And then I want to discuss with you a little bit about the Yimei HaMitzarim. Just a short idea, one or two short ideas, how much time we have, relating to the 3 weeks coming up upon us very rapidly.
The simple Yisurim is...